This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
The Greg Kelly Show.
All right. Excuse me. Here we are. Oh, why are apples so different? Not all apples are alike, right? They are, even if they look great, they may not taste all that great. Apples. Bite at your own risk. Nah, there's nothing risky about it. Not like we have worms to deal with. Anyway, what the hell is going on? A lot. And nothing at the same time. It's a holding pattern. At the same time, the country is totally on fire and in complete chaos. We're becoming a little bit inured to it. I think that's the word, inured, I-N-U-R-E-D, accustomed to it, used to it. This is just the way things are. We go about our lives, and it's a very noisy background. You can tune it out. You can look at it. But this is none of this is normal, and it shouldn't be normal. As a matter of fact, it's horrific, and some of this stuff should be illegal, or at least not tolerated. The anti-Semitism on the campuses, right? You know, they're bending over backwards to accommodate these Hamas-loving weirdos. Some of the Hamas-loving weirdos don't even know what the hell they're standing for or what it's all about. And I think this is Rudy, right? Rudy's team went down to NYU last night and talked to them about, hey, what the hell are you here for? What's going on? And they had no clue. It's awesome to listen to. They just have no idea what's going on. Let me just go to Rudy first. Rudy's great. Cut eight.
I feel that we have declined to a state of absurdity when we have these ignorant people who are supporting killers.
All right. He's right about that. And what he did was he spent a lot of time talking to the students, and the students had no idea. They couldn't even find Gaza on a map. They were there because, guess what? Rioting, and people know this, city planners, urbanologists, they've understood this for decades. When it comes to rioting, it is fun and profitable. They actually have there's a classic tome, The Ungovernable City, and there's a big chapter in there that calls it rioting for fun and profit. And boy, they're just having a blast out there, you know, banging the drums, cutting school. I mean, right? You can kind of see why young idiots would get into that. Don't you? A little bit? I kind of see it. Now, it's horrible. They don't realize that, well, some of them do, and some of them are just really hateful people. Some of them are just along for the ride. Now, do me a favor, Diego. This is possibly the most ignorant person at NYU. Although she's got lots of ignorant friends, and this is one of the people, it just has no clue as to what she's doing there, why she's protesting. She knows that NYU must have done something jerky, but that's about it. Go ahead.
And what would you say is the main goal with tonight's protest?
I think the goal is just showing our support for Palestine and demanding that NYU stops. I honestly don't know all of what NYU's doing.
Is there something that NYU's doing?
I really don't know. I'm pretty sure they're... Do you know what NYU's doing?
About what?
About Israel. Why are we protesting here?
Palestine will be free!
I wish I was more educated.
I'm not either. I came from Columbia. I was there up at Columbia, and we came down. They said NYU students needed our support. So I came down. I heard there's lots of cops. Some people were saying it was getting dangerous.
All right. I couldn't really, a lot of hooting and hollering in the background, but she doesn't know what the hell she's doing there, doesn't know what NYU has done, support Hamas, but I got to get a lot more educated on everything. Yeah, no kidding. That's why you're in school. Get educated. I can't stand these kids trying to rearrange society. Granted, it looks like every generation does that, right? Hard to believe that people in their 70s right now were in their teens and 20s during the Vietnam era, and, well, what were they doing? They were trying to dismantle society. They were trying to have communes and stuff like that, right? Get rid of it all. Remember all that stuff? Well, sooner or later, reality kicks in. Something kicks in. and previously stupid people kind of wisen up and smarten up and get to the basics. Is that going to happen here? I don't know, because there are a lot of other kind of pressures that are happening right now. And have you ever heard of Professor Galloway? He's at NYU, very bright guy. And I actually met him once. This guy just understands how the world works. He sees things very clearly. Listen to this. Cut 16, please. Cut 16. Professor Galloway.
For the first time in our nation's history, a 30-year-old man or woman isn't doing as well as his or her parents were at 30. That is the social compact breaking down. People aged 30 to 34, 60% of them in 1990 had one child. Now it's 27%. People are opting out of America. They're not optimistic about it. They're not having kids. Young people aren't having sex. They're not meeting. They're not mating. The pool of emotionally and economically viable men shrinks every day, which lessens household formation. So we have a real issue. Young people are enraged. So it turns every cut, every movement into an opportunistic infection because, quite frankly, they are just pissed off. Mm-hmm. They look up, they see wealth, exceptional wealth across my generation and people in certain industries, and they are really struggling. Their purchasing power is going down, and the incumbents create artificial scarcity on campus. We take pride in rejecting 90% of our applicants, so the incumbents who already have a degree see their degree go up in value. We get very concerned with housing and traffic once we own a housing. Housing permits are sequestered from young people. Housing prices have gone from 290 to 420 in the last 4 years. So a young person, a house, stocks that I don't own skyrocket in value. Let's have COVID relief and flush the markets and take assets way up, because if a million people dying would be bad, would be tragic if I got less wealthy. And we're doing it on their credit card. Young people have every reason to be enraged, and every issue they see, they look up, they get angry, and they see someone doing better than them. And then every day it is speedballed in their face that they are failing, that they are not doing as well as everyone around them. We have lost the script. Our kids are more anxious and more depressed and more obese and more addicted. And we have made a purposeful decision to let this happen by ensuring the people around this table stay wealthy at the cost of young people.
All right. There's a lot there I totally agree with. Some of it I don't. I think he's going a little bit easy on the young people. Like, you know, they have every right to be outraged. Do they? Every right to be outraged? You're young. You're still learning. This is the first generation, I think, that somehow we became convinced that they know better. There are a lot of people paying a lot of attention, especially those powerful people, taking all the social cues from the young people. And I know you want to, what sells to young people, well, that sells, and that's the target audience, right? 24 to 54, 25 to 54, but really 19 to 30, that's the sweet spot. But they are just starting out. They have been dealt a pretty horrible hand with this social media. And I think that's what he's getting at. You look at social media, everybody seems to be doing better than you. Everybody seems to have a great. Did you notice what he said in there also? Young people are not having sex. And that's fascinating, and it's true. If you look for these studies, they're out there. Young people are having less sex than young people were having 30 years ago. Why is that? Think about that for a second, because we are more sexualized than ever before, right? Yeah, but that actually makes you less likely to have sex. With the pornography everywhere, remember what you used to have to do to get pornography? I do. You had to sneak around. Hopefully your friend's father had some, or you actually went to the store when you were old enough and you had to present yourself in person, actually buy the penthouse or the Playboy, or, you know, maybe a little bit something else, a bit more hardcore, Hustler or whatever. Maybe you'd bury it in the New York Times. I want all of these as well. And maybe I'll take one of these. There weren't that many men who were willing to do that. There weren't that many. There were plenty, but, you know. And now 12-year-olds have access to that pornography. You don't have to go to some store and present yourself and go through all that hassle. Children, and a lot of them are hooked. And what kind of ideas do you get? You get a lot of interesting ideas about what women want, or what we're told that they want. And a lot of those ideas are wrong and, you know, all over the place and unusual and kind of outrageous expectations are set. So, well, who needs to engage with the nice girl down the block when you can engage with sexy Roxy Pulitzer online. And do you know what OnlyFans is? Have you heard about this OnlyFans? It's turning basically every semi-attractive girl into a porn star. Almost. Not every, but a lot. You can be a porn star like that and have 100,000 people paying to see you nude or in a bikini or whatever. It has been so mainstreamed and so normalized. It's not. It's not. It's harmful. Believe me, I've seen all of this stuff. I've had subscriptions. I've canceled subscriptions. Not to the OnlyFans. That's pretty new. I would tell you if I did. Actually, Diego, have you ever been to OnlyFans? Do you know anything about it? What it's like or what people, what's it all about?
I've never been on it, but I know you get to chat with the person. You get to ask for specific things from them, you know, like make a video of yourself doing that, that kind of stuff.
All right. Well, that's kind of been around for a while, but this is like, I mean, they had phone sex operators, right? Remember in 1-900 numbers and stuff like that. But this is, this has the air of authenticity. There's a real people with real, does it sound titillating? It probably is initially, and then it's addictive, and then you need more to get your motor running. This is probably too much, but, and this takes me actually to the Donald Trump case, because they thought, they actually were stupid enough to think, the Democrats, that the moment we heard about Stormy Daniels, we would all be so disgusted and run for the hills, and oh my God, how could he do such a thing? And number one, it's not true. Trump did not hook up with her. I know that. Number two, even if he did, it doesn't matter. Do you realize when this alleged hookup is said to have taken place? Was it in the middle of the campaign? No. Was it in the White House? No. It was in 2006, also known as basically 20 years ago. And there's actually no evidence that they hooked up other than the word of Stormy. And I've heard her tell this story, and I've seen her tell this story, and there's something fundamentally wrong, not only with the story, but with Stormy. Stormy's story does not add up. And there's something very, very weird and wrong about Stormy and this whole damn thing. But now that it's at trial, and now that I got the transcript in my hot little hands, I don't know who told me that once. I would like to have that in my hot little hands. There was this cashier that we have to deal with at the PX at Pensacola. And it's like, you keep that in your hot little hands. I'm like, I'm going to go to the next register next time. Anyway, I got the whole damn thing right here. And it is exculpatory beyond belief. It implicates Michael Cohen. Hey, you know who comes off like a pretty nice guy and a decent guy? David Pecker from the National Enquirer. David Pecker, I think, did the right thing. The other thing about this is, and they try to make it sound like it's a conspiracy. It's not. You know what it was? It was Donald Trump catching a break from one magazine in the entire country. 1,000 newspapers endorsed Hillary Clinton. You know how many endorsed Donald Trump? 2. There was like a penny saver from Las Vegas and the Antelope News. No kidding, the Antelope News in like Montana. Not even the New York Post endorsed Donald Trump in 2016. Not even the New York Post. Nobody did. Hillary gets 1,000 endorsements. Donald Trump gets one lucky break. A newspaper, the National Enquirer wants to be nice to Donald Trump. That's it. That's all he had. And now they've made a federal case out of it. He is totally innocent, but they're not. What they are doing is a crime. Matthew Colangelo is one of the worst people in the world. The district attorney, I got the goods on this guy. Like, he's not some run-of-the-mill guy. He's pals with Merrick Garland and Joe Biden. And I'll prove it to you when we come back.
Greg Kelly.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
Hi, it's Lou Dobbs for Priority Gold, America's precious metals dealer. These are volatile times with high inflation, soaring debt, wars on multiple continents, and rising financial stress. Central banks are buying gold to diversify their reserves, so are many Americans. Call Priority Gold and find out how precious metals can help you diversify your portfolio. They're highly rated and happy to help. Call 1-866-303-6357 or get a free gold guide at PriorityGoldGuide.com. That's PriorityGoldGuide.com.
This is the Greg Kelly Show.
Hey, there's no court today for Donald Trump. I hope he's getting some relaxation, although he's probably going to have to go campaign somewhere tonight. Amazing, amazing stamina, endurance. How he puts up with all this crap, huh? So it's interesting when you when the day starts, the photographers come in and they take like 1,000 pictures of Donald Trump. They don't take, one picture of the judge. They don't take one picture of the prosecutors. And I'm pretty sure that's because they don't want to be photographed, partly because they're ashamed. Also, a little bit, they want to pretend that, oh, we have to worry about extreme MAGA. Extreme MAGA Republicans might kill us. Oh, my gosh. Number one. We want everybody to be safe, okay? Everybody should be safe. But this is this little stuff, these little atmospheric tricks that they're pulling, it's aimed at stoking fear of MAGA. It absolutely is. And I think right there, you got grounds for a mistrial. And the jurors are coming in. They're all saying, oh, I'm all freaked out about my safety. One of the jurors had like a 30-minute meeting with the judge about how worried she was for her safety. Now, I don't want anybody to be harmed or anything, but the judge could have said, so what specifically are you worried about? Because she's worried about MAGA extremists, right? That tells me that she's fallen hook, line, and sinker for all that January 6th crap, and she needs to be ejected from the jury immediately. A lot of them. I'm hearing that they're all a bunch of lefties, totally, right? Here's something in the questionnaire. I missed this. Guess where they all get their news? WABC radio. No, unfortunately, they get it from the New York Times. And the New York Times, yeah, it used to be gospel. It used to be freaking gospel. It is not anymore. It is a horrible, corrupt misinformation package. Misinformation, disinformation, horrible toward Israel, totally weird in so many different ways, transgender fixated. Oh, here's the prosecutor I was just telling you about. Now, does this sound like a run-of-the-mill prosecutor? They just found, hey, Matt, can you prosecute this bookkeeping case we got? No, this sounds like, this sounds like Merrick Garland's right-hand man, which he was, actually. This is Matthew Colangelo you're about to hear. It's 3 years ago. He's at the Department of Justice, and he's opening a symposium about environmental crime. Go ahead.
On behalf of Attorney General Merrick Garland, let me say that the Department of Justice and the Environmental Protection Agency are excited to co-host this event together.
Hey, stop.
The only thing...
Sounds like such a dweeb, right? Total dweeb. Keep going.
...better would be to be with you in person. Hopefully, we'll be able to do that next year.
Well, actually, he was not able to do that next year. You know why? Because Matthew Colangelo left the Department of Justice, third-ranking position in the Department of the United States Department of Justice, to go work for Alvin Bragg in the dirtiest, slimiest, weirdest office in America, the Tombs. They call them the Tombs because they're so crummy. What else, Matthew?
President Biden and Attorney General Garland understand that the brunt of the harm caused by pollution and climate change is often borne by communities of color.
Oh, boy, he's woke, too. See, he speaks for Biden. He speaks for Merrick Garland, and that's why he's in Manhattan prosecuting Trump.
You're listening to The Greg Kelly Show.
Hey, did we talk about... Yeah, I did talk about Stormy, but more to come on Stormy. No one's freaked out. She was on 60 Minutes. She's totally lying. And quite frankly, I can see it in her eyes. Literally, I've never seen eyes so dilated ever. The only time I've seen eyes that dilated, I guess, were my eyes when I had them dilated by the optometrist. You ever go there and they give you that special, the special stuff that dilutes or dilate, your eyes dilate a lot. And then you have to wear the fake, cheap, very dark sunglasses to get home. Or you got to call a friend, one or the other. So it is not to be believed by any means whatsoever, her story and the rest of it. He is, oh, it's fun. This transcript is actually fun. More in a moment. This Scott Galloway guy is on fire right now. Everybody should find him on social media and follow the hell out of him. He's always pumping out videos. He showed up on the Morning Joe show and left their mouths agape. Some of them tried to pretend that they were agreeing with him, but no, they were totally freaked out. May we, the second clip, Scott Galloway, New Yorker, right? He's a professor at NYU. In Freak Central, there's one smart guy. Go ahead.
And I do think there is a double standard. I walked by NYU last night. What I saw was peaceful protest. But I can tell you, if I went into the NYU square with a white hood on and said, lynch the blacks or burn the gays, my ID would be shut off by that night. And I would never work in academia again. There would be no need for the words context or nuance. I wouldn't be protected by terms like First Amendment or free speech. I would be out of the world of academia. It seems like we have a double standard when it comes to hate speech, as long as it's against Jews.
And we're not just talking about the exercising of free speech and protest, which we agree people have, and there's spaces on campus for that. It's what they're saying is the harassment of Jewish students. Is that why is there that double standard? Because of course you're right.
Let me jump in, Willie. Because of anti-Semitism, it's been around for thousands of years, and some of it is by the way, based in jealousy and ignorance and good old fashioned hate. Now Galloway has a few theories. Keep going.
Out loud, if these things were being said about black people or gay people or Latinos or Asian or anybody else, forget it. Shut down the school. Everybody's expelled. Why is there still that double standard?
I think it's complicated. I think, one, young people have a healthy gag reflex on what people our age think. And I think that's healthy. Two, I don't think Israel has draped itself in glory over the last 20 or 30 years. They've shifted from being kind of the David to the Goliath. I also think that incorrectly, students on campus conflate the civil rights movement with what is going on in Palestine and have digressed, unfortunately, because of an orthodoxy promoted by me and my colleagues that there are oppressors and oppressed. And the easiest way to identify oppressors is how white and how rich they are, or fairly or unfairly. Israel is seen as ground zero for whiteness and how wealthy they are. And then what might sound paranoid, but doesn't mean I'm wrong. I think we are being manipulated, specifically youth, who their frame for the world is TikTok. And if you look at TikTok, there are 52 videos that are pro-Hamas or pro-Palestinian for every one served on Israel. I think that we are being manipulated. I think Americans are easier to fool than convinced they've been fooled. But if I were the CCP, I'd be doing exactly the same thing. I think social media is sowing division and polarization in our society.
Wow. A lot of stuff there. I agree with about 90% of it, except for he said Israel has become Goliath. It used to be David. I don't agree with that. If you look at the map of the Middle East and you look at that little sliver that is Israel and you look at all the enemies that surround Israel and what they want to do to Israel, no, you've got David, Israel, Goliath, the Middle East, and all of these murderous hordes who want to commit genocide. Horrible stuff. Horrible. Hey, you know who's getting it really good? Chuck Schumer. And he, I tell you what, when the pressure is applied on Chuck, he gets a couple of things. He gets very angry, he gets very scared, and then he changes his tune. He'll do whatever the mob wants. And he's already been terrible on Israel, right? Netanyahu calling for his ouster in the middle of a war. Hey, did you? No, you didn't. Let me hear the, so people show up and they're yelling and screaming outside of Chuck's house in Brooklyn. This is where he went totally liberal when they started showing up at his house about 10 years ago. Hit it.
Senator, your Jewish constituents and the vast majority of the U.S. demands stop arming Israel.
Stop arming Israel.
Stop arming Israel. stop arming Israel!
All of the Jews that I know and love, my family and friends, are all horrified by what the Biden administration is doing. And so I worry that he's losing a lot of support. I'm extremely concerned about the starvation tactics. I mean, all of it. What I don't understand is why we keep sending money for a genocide. It's very upsetting.
We know that this year,
hey, shut up for a second, lady. Man, you really are buying it all. Hey, what about the baby that's being held hostage? What about the old women and men who are being held hostage? What about the young girls who are being held hostage? You know, I keep hearing about, oh, famine, famine, famine. Well, you know how many meals have been dropped on Gaza? Enough to feed Gaza for the next decade. All right. All right. The meal ready to eat. It's in a bag. They are awash in food. And the other thing is, you know, I look at the footage myself and I notice the men are well nourished. Every now and then I'll show that they'll show a picture of a child who's malnourished. And I wonder, did they torture this child on purpose to evoke sympathy? Right. I don't put it past these animals. Hamas, do you? Of course not. This is the same crew that went to a concert and shot women and children and currently have in custody, holding hostage, a baby, an infant, who I don't believe is yet 2 years old, a little two-year-old. So there are ignorant people everywhere. And also there are people who just want to fit in, who just try to figure out which way the wind is blowing and, yeah, go in that direction. And you know who epitomizes that? Joe Robinette Biden. Yeah, his middle name is Robinette. Did you know that? Joe Robinette Biden. He's been playing this thing, both sides, weird, weak, running away. Doesn't want to antagonize AOC, Ilhan Omar, Rashida Tlaib, all of these whack job leftos in the Democrat Party. That is the heart and soul of the Democrat Party. He can't afford to lose them. They hate him anyway. You might as well just do the right thing. You know who did the right thing? Well, almost every president, you know, that's an awesome job, right? And you have to do the right thing. I want to go back through history. This is very controversial. It's hard to believe now, but the integration of schools in Arkansas, and there was a little girl named Ruby. I think she was like 6 years old. And a court had ordered that that school be integrated, and Ruby wanted to go to that school. But the bigots down there didn't want it to happen. So President Eisenhower personally orchestrated the federal marshals to go down there and make sure that Ruby got to school. It wasn't too small an issue for presidential action. And here he is speaking. You know, the other day, Biden mumbled about this and walked off stage. Mumbled and said something about, I condemn people who don't understand Palestine. What? Listen to what Eisenhower did all the way back in 1960, cut 18.
For a few minutes this evening, I should like to speak to you about the serious situation that has arisen in Little Rock. To make this talk, I have come to the president's office in the White House. I could have spoken from Rhode Island, of where I have been staying recently. But I felt that, in speaking from the House of Lincoln, of Jackson, and of Wilson, my words would better convey both the sadness I feel in the action I was compelled today to make, and the firmness with which I intend to pursue this course until the orders of the federal court at Little Rock can be executed without unlawful interference.
Pretty strong, huh? Guy goes back to the White House to make sure that those kids get into school. We have universities shut down all over the place because anti-Jewish, anti-Semitic students, ignorant students shut down those campuses. The administrators are somehow okay with that, are facilitating it, closing down, standing down. So this is a lot worse than what was going on in 1960. And, oh, by the way, they're targeting and harassing and assaulting Jewish students. Tell me more, Ike. Cut 19.
In that city, under the leadership of demagogic extremists, disorderly mobs have deliberately prevented the carrying out of proper orders from a federal court. Local authorities have not eliminated that violent opposition. And under the law, I yesterday issued a proclamation calling upon the mob to disperse.
Wow. That's what we want out of government. You know, I don't need government sponsoring drag time story hour for children. I need them to disperse violent mobs. Violent mobs need to be dispersed, especially ones that are so anti-Semitic. Here we go again. Here we go again. Hey, what were the first words out of his mouth? What did he call these people again? Cut 19, just the first couple. Cut 19.
In that city, under the leadership of demagogic extremists.
Demagogic extremists. Ring a bell? All right, Ike. We could use you right now. One more. Cut 20.
This morning, the mob again gathered in front of the Central High School of Little Rock. Obviously, for the purpose of again preventing the carrying out of the court's order relating to the admission of Negro children to that school.
How about that? One school. They're not letting the children in. He used the word antiquated now. We don't use it anymore, but he used that word. That's fine. Culturally, it was appropriate. One school, he goes to the White House, and we got schools all over the place, and Jewish students can't get in. And Joe Biden literally giggles about it. Hey, I know it's not exactly the same situation, and this may not warrant the National Guard, but you know what it warrants? Leadership. Doing something. And Joe, if you're such a coward, you don't want to do anything publicly, well, get on the freaking phone and do it privately, but you can't. You won't. This is what JFK did. He was doing it publicly and privately. Actually, a little bit more boldly privately, I think. John F. Kennedy, a couple of years later, up against some other southern governor who didn't want to integrate and was slow walking the whole damn thing. And James Meredith, a black student who wanted to go to college, harassing him. They wanted to assault him. They wanted to beat him up. And JFK would not let that happen. Cut 21.
Well, you see, we got to get order up there, and that's what we thought was going to happen.
President, please, why don't you, give an order and try to remove Mayor?
How can I remove him, Governor, when there's a riot in the street, and he may step out of that building and something happened to him? I can't remove him under those conditions. Let's get order up there, then we can do something about Mayor.
We can surround it with plenty of officials.
Well, we've got to get somebody up there now to get order and stop the firing and the shooting. Then you and I will talk on the phone about Meredith. But first, we got to get order.
First, we got to get order. That's the first order of business for government. And we don't have it right now because, what, owned by the left, they don't want order, they dig the message of the left, a lot of weird things going on, and don't forget Obama. And I still say that Biden is not going to make it to the finish line. He's not going to make it to the election. He's going to, they will tell him to hand over the nomination to someone else, and I still think that someone else is going to be, yes, Michelle Obama. Who else could it be? Gavin Newsom? No. I don't care about his whiteness. I don't care about his maleness. I care that he's an idiot and he has no integrity and he's a total liar. But with the Democrats right now, white male, no way. No siree, Bob. All right, as I wrap this up for a moment, what is this? Who's Bobby? Bobby, hello?
Hello, thank you. Listen, the New York Times has never been straight with the people since they've been in business since the 1890s or something. They're owned by Israelis, self-hating Jews. They never confronted the Germans on what they were doing with all the Nazi camps all over Germany. They hid it all. They knew about it all. They hid it. They hide a lot of things.
I know. And we know that from Mark Levin. I know that Mark Levin. And he has done books about this, and he's absolutely amazing. And that thing is a thing. I don't know what's going on inside their heads. And you know what? He's right. I mean, yeah. How can you vote for anybody else but Trump right now? Quite frankly, whether you're Christian or Jewish, but in a weird way, especially if you're Jewish. Bobby, thank you. And yes, Bill.
How you doing? I think with all these incidents that are going on in college that the presidents are waffling, like Biden is waffling on things, because they're either complicit or they're compromised. And if we don't get rid of the presidents from these colleges, we're never going to get anywhere.
You know, you may be right. The colleges are so thoroughly corrupt. That was pretty awesome when Elise Stefanik shamed them and two went down in about 10 minutes. Remember the Harvard president went down and the UPenn president went down and maybe this Columbia president is that. Look, if you can't maintain order, if you can't ensure the safety of your students, no matter what their faith is, and if you're going to allow people to yell and scream supporting genocide, this is a private institution. If you're countenancing, if you're allowing that, well, that is complicity. Bill, you and me, we're tight on that one and a lot more. I'll be right back.
Greg Kelly. Listening to the Greg Kelly Show.
Even NBC News acknowledging through polls Donald Trump's emerging and commanding position on the issue. Something like 15 points voters give Donald Trump credit as having more ability to manage the economy over Biden. 15 points ahead, some 20 points ahead when it comes to mental acuity and fitness for the job. Yet, I mean, anything can happen. And these guys, I think they're going to try to cheat. And the new thing coming from the Trump campaign, you got to make the victory too big to rig. So big you can't rig it because they are good at rigging things. And here's Joe Biden. Actually, do me a favor, the second one, a couple of years ago, I think this is a Freudian slip. Some people just say, oh, it's just Joe making a mistake or whatever. You know, I didn't mean to say that. Yeah, you know what the traditional definition of a gaffe is? A gaffe is saying the truth out loud when you shouldn't be saying the truth. Here we go.
And folks.
No, not that one. The other one.
Together. And you guys did it for our administration, the President Obama's administration before this. We have put together, I think, the most extensive and inclusive voter fraud organization in the history of American politics. Secondly,
the quiet part out loud. Yeah, I'm sorry, but all that COVID stuff, they took advantage of it. They illegally changed practices in a whole mess of states, including and especially Pennsylvania. All right. More recently, this is just a good old fashioned stupid Joe. Although then again, it's the truth. It's the truth, too. It's an inadvertent admission of the truth. Go ahead.
And folks. In a sense, I don't know why we're surprised by Trump. How many times does he have to prove we can't be trusted?
How many times does he have to prove that we can't be trusted? Wow! How many times? Joe, you prove it every single day. With the, and no, I think it's never been more glaring to me than with this whole the anti-Semitism that is gripping our country. He based his very campaign on Charlottesville, right? What happened in Charlottesville. And the lie about Charlottesville. He lied about Charlottesville. He said that Donald Trump said that there were good people on both sides when Donald Trump clearly meant that the people who thought that that statue was fine and should be kept, they were good people, and the people who thought it should be removed were good people. The neo-Nazis and the white supremacists, he explicitly and specifically said he wasn't talking about them and they should be condemned totally, totally. But you know what? Again, even those crazy maniacs, is anyone beyond redemption? I actually don't think so. Some of these people, every now and then you find a former hate group member, you know, they realize something happens, a switch is flipped, they find God. But the weird thing about that statue, more and more, see, I do think you can be a good person and think, you know what, that offends me. I don't want to see that statue. It reminds me of slavery. I think that that's a valid point of view. I happen to disagree with it, but it's a totally valid, you can make that case, and we could have that discussion. I actually think these statues should be preserved for a host of reasons. It is part of our history, like it or not, and I think, you know, let's face it, it's a bit of a phony issue that it's offensive. I mean, these statues have been around for 150 years, and suddenly, overnight, because Joe Biden is in a tight election fight. They are abhorrent to look at. So it's all fake. Totally fake. But they're trying to make it that my opinion about that they should be preserved, like that is the radical, you can't have that opinion. That's the unacceptable thing. And this unity that they say they want is about one, having one idea, one party.